I would like to read a word of God before we pray from the prophet Isaiah, from chapter 48, from verse 16. Isaiah 48, from verse 16. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there I am. And now the Lord God and His Spirit has sent me. Thus saith the Lord, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord thy God, which teaches thee to profit, who leadeth thee by the way that thou shouldest go. Oh, that thou hadst hearkened to my commandments, then I had thy peace been as a river, and thy righteousness as the waves of the sea. Thy seed also had been as the sand, and the offspring of thy bowels like the gravel thereof. His name should not have been cut off, nor destroyed from before me. Up to here, this precious and holy word of God. We can only confirm, and we can only say, our God has not spoken in secret. He speaks to us from face to face as a father to his children. And we time and again have to say it, we are his people. We are his chosen flock. And he just wants that we truly walk on the right way, looking for his word. And this is our desire also this morning. And he says, come unto me, hear ye this. And this morning we may come to him, hearing the words which he speaks to us anew. For this, we want to praise him, giving him the glory, receiving into our hearts. Now, we want to give him the glory and the adoration. For this, we want to stand up. Faithful God, you who have created the heavens and the earth, you who speak to us, you have spoken to your prophets, you have called them, that they tell your people what you have to say unto them. And until our days, you didn't cease to speak, and you're continuing to speak. You will prepare us for your soon appearing. You want to make us ready for your kingdom, for your glory. We worship you in our midst. We are gathered here as your people, as the flock of your hand, O Lord. And you don't speak in an not understandable way, but you speak in an understandable way. Give grace to me, to all of us, that we take your word to heart. Last night you spoke so wonderfully to us. You showed us your word and what will take place. With you at the beginning was spoken out already what would happen at the end. Thank you, O God, that we can take this to heart and that we know not one word remained unfulfilled, but everything will be fulfilled what your holy mouth has spoken from the very beginning until eternity. Also, this word is valid this morning, that we may come unto you, and we have come not only to hear a man, but that we hear you and your word. Worship unto your name. Now be with us, Lord, while we hear your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Perhaps we sing a couple of choruses together. The song leader is not present this morning, he's at work. We sing "Every Day with Jesus is Nicer Than the Day Before." This we believe with all our hearts. This we already seen, we heard it, and mostly we also experienced it, that this is the day of which the prophets and apostles and our Lord have spoken. This is the time. And when we use the term day, then we don't mean a 24-hour day. Already the prophet Isaiah, and also Paul, sets it forth in the letter to the Corinthians. This is the day of salvation. This is the acceptable time. And if we sing, this is the day which the Lord has made, then we sing this on every day when God lays it into our hearts, without thinking here on a 24-hour day. Many prophets and also apostles, they were longing to see this day and this time, to experience it. And they went before us without having seen it and without having experienced it. Us God pardoned. He placed us into this generation so that we now recognize the day of God's gracious visitation of our God, and that we have part in everything what God is doing. From the very beginning, when I heard Brother Branham in the year 55, there came up something, a deep longing in me to serve God, to experience God. And that what I preach and teach, to stand before Him, and not only alone, but with all them who have heard the word of God. And we notice that the time is coming to its end. In the past years, especially when 77 was before the door, I've written very clearly, the year will come and go without that it is being fulfilled what people have waited for and announced. And I even had to do it driven by the Spirit, also with this year 84. But believe me, I would not dare to once again to write from now on, the year will start and the year will end without that something has happened. Someday we come to the end of the end time. One day it is so far. From now on, I will not dare to set times, but in the same way, also not to write, a year will come and a year will go. Just the contrary, I am convinced that we are very near to a thing which God will do amongst his people because he has promised it. And because of this, all the trials, because of this, all the things which shall become an obstacle, a hindrance. But let me say this to you, not in presumptuousness, but let me say it in faith. The hindrances which the enemy puts into our way are not for the purpose that we stumble over them, but that we overcome them, and that we reach the other side as the victor, walking the way with our Lord, trusting him, and receiving thankfully what he has to say unto us. We are not ordained to remain standing at an obstacle. We are ordained to overcome it by the power of God and to walk our way onward with our God. Trials will come until the end. Nobody needs to pray for it, that he would be spared, because this will not be the case. But if we look to that, what God has said, and that we make our efforts to have part in that what he's doing, then we have the main thing to which we concentrate on, and everything else we may overcome by the grace of God, leaving it behind us. Many times it was said, one cannot at the same time walk and stand. One cannot look at the same time back and then having the goal before us. One has to decide what one likes. Whoever wants to look back can do it, but then he doesn't have to marvel when he, as Lot's wife, suddenly stands still and the feet do not move anymore. Only unbelief looks back. Faith has nothing where he could look back. Faith looks up to Jesus Christ, our Lord. And he is more than able to bring us forward and to help us to overcome everything. Also, this was said many times. There, where we see no way anymore, where everything is closed, there he is able to make a way. And even it would go through the midst of the Red Sea, the people of Israel stood there, the knees were shaking, and the Lord went before them. Not Moses made the way. Moses lifted up his hand and his rod. The Lord God made the way. So it is today with us. We take the word of God as the sword of the Spirit, and we believe what the Lord has promised to us, and we trust that he will bring it to pass. Thanks be to God for all the trials. Thanks be to God for all the deep ways. Thanks be to God for all the misunderstandings. The Holy Scripture teaches us, give thanks to God for all things. Can we do this? Can I do it? Can you do it? Mama, we can all. This the people of Israel could do. But with that, we cannot walk forward with our God. Every verse in the Bible has its right. And as we read it, we say, Lord, you see us. We cannot do it from our own selves. Help us to obey your word and to say thanks to you. And in that moment, where we even thank for trials and for hindrances and whatever it might be, thanking God for it, because he knows for what it serves. And to every child of God, basically for everything it serves for the good. Is it written in your Bible? All things work together for good. All, but this not and this not. Stop it. When the Holy Scripture tells us in Romans chapter 8, black on white, very clearly it says, all things work together for good to them who love God. Then I don't want that somebody dares to oppose God's word. Because then we are in an inner rebellion against God. And that's what he said. And if we find ourselves in it, then it is high time to come before the Lord saying, Savior, forgive me. I was arguing with my fate and with the people and the conditions I didn't cope with. Please help me. And then, this we don't need to say to anybody. You can all keep it for yourselves. But silently you will say, Lord, it were not the circumstances which were the actual problem. You can keep it for yourselves, but you can say it to the Lord. Lord, I was my own problem. Everything else was just the framing. Lord, it's me who is not there where he should be. And already everything will turn to the good, because God wants that we are helped. God wants, through trials, you and me, he wants to make us an overcomer by them, to people who then can glorify his power, giving him the glory. Also today, we welcome all of you very warmly. Yesterday I was greeting a brother from Eastern Germany who has come with sister and brother Strauss. We welcome you in a very special way, precious brother, and we wish you God's blessing. And at this occasion, we want to give you greetings to all our brothers and sisters in the other part of our country. Now, let us go into the word of our God. I would like to read from Isaiah 48. Isaiah 48, the first part from verse 14. And then we were read from verse 15 already. Here it says, all ye, assemble yourselves and hear. When we obey this today, assemble yourselves, all ye, and hear. How often do we have the term which is written in every church age message? He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying unto the churches. Then from verse 15, I have spoken, yea, I have called him, I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come ye near unto me, hear ye this. I have not spoken in secret from the beginning. From the time that it was, there am I. And now the Lord God and his Spirit has sent me. I don't want to read everything again what was read already. But we noticed what we were told here. Oh, if you would have hearkened to my commandments, to my instructions, to my word, then your peace would be here like a river, and your righteousness as the waves of the sea. There must be a possibility that we as the people of God have the peace of God, carrying it wherever we come, namely in every house in which we step in, that we can say, as the Lord commanded it, peace be with you. But then the peace must also be with us when we want to pass it on. Blessed are those who have found peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and who carry this peace, taking it with them wherever they go. I would like to read from the Word of God two scriptures before we read others. The first one from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, and from chapter 4, verse 1. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 8 and 9. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Mainly it was about verse 9. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. In the kingdom of God, something comes up. In the kingdom of God, something is happening. It's a field. It must be, the field must be worked on. The thistles and the brushes must put away so that the seed is not quenched, as the Lord says it in a parable. And then something must come up. God's husbandry we are. God's co-workers we are. God's field. God's building ye are. Here we could go to the Epistle of Peter. Build upon the most holy ground of faith. And Paul testifies of the same. Then, in the word 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Also, this word addressed to them who are ordained for it, to preach the word, to set forth the counsel of God, to whom the mysteries of God were entrusted to, of them it is required that they are faithful. I would like that what was said last night, I would like to continue, although in a bit different direction. In the midst of the history of mankind, God makes the history with the plan of salvation. And when we read from the first pages of the Bible, going back to the beginning, then we see an Abel, we see an Enoch, and a Noah. In the first almost 2,000 years, these were men who in a special way stand out, who are just here and they cannot be put aside. God made history with them. I would like to read from the first two from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, here we are told of Abel and also of Enoch. Something special is said. We spoke about the biblical faith and also about that the real true biblical faith is a revelation of God. Not only a revelation, but a revelation of the Word and the will of God. Today, many times one finds, oh, faith is a revelation. And if one then wants to look behind, how does the revelation look like? Say something, then nothing comes. Then comes the repetition, faith is a revelation. God is not a God of theory, and the faith is not just a term. Faith is grounded in God and His Word, which the one heard, and it rests in the promise which was given unto us. And then faith becomes a living revelation, a revelation of God from the Word given to you and me. Did we understand this? Faith, not just a revelation about something, but revelation of the will and of the Word of God. In Hebrews 11, verse 4, and 5, we read, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead, yet speaketh. Let us remain standing here. Through him he speaks even now, after his death. What does he say to you and me? What is emphasized here? At that time, no Bible was written yet. There was no Moses yet. There was not an Abraham yet. Yes, Noah was just born, yes. But the Bible was not here yet. And nevertheless, there was faith. There was revelation. God's answer was there. And people who believed God, people to whom His Word was addressed, people who were in fellowship with God because they were ordained for it, to be a testimony of God, to leave it behind for us. There are people who leave behind their own teachings and their own testimonies, perhaps their own biography. But then there are people, they have nothing own to leave behind as a testament. They have only to leave behind what God gave them, and that what became a blessing and a teaching for others. Of Enoch, we read in verse 5, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God.
Ihr Lieben,
beloved,
wenn wir auf die Entrückung wirklich warten,
when we really wait for the rapture, then the enthusiasm and the teaching about it is not enough. Then we, as Enoch, the seventh after Adam, must have the testimony that we please God. Otherwise, we are waiting in vain. Let us stop here. Faith is the revelation of the will of God based upon the word of God, which was given to you and me by the Holy Spirit, being revealed to us. And if we are children, if we have become children of God, then of course for a specific purpose, namely that we should be something for the praise of His wonderful grace. And we understood that denominations make up their own churches, and that everyone brings forth after their own kind. The Lord has not come to beget some kind of children of denominations or churches, but to beget children of God. And the Holy Scripture teaches it in the Gospel of John, chapter 1. To all them who believe on Him, He gave the right, the power to become the children of God. Not just members of a church, not just the coming in into some kind of pious society, but being born through the Spirit into the kingdom of God. And there, we not only have not just miss something in all the denominations, but perhaps in us and around us. And we have to ask ourselves how some belong to the Methodists and Baptists, and there are around 300 of them. Without that, the emphasis is laid upon only being children of God. The result is that of what the prophet spoke. They have begotten children of bastards. They are children, yes, in this and that church, children. But where are the children of God, who at the end of the time of grace will be manifested as the sons and daughters of God, through which the Lord can complete His counsel? If we look at the Holy Scripture, then the first phase was from Adam to Noah. And there we see especially these three men. We see them standing out, to not say outstanding men. And why are they mentioned in the Holy Scripture? This is the question. Also at that time, there were people on earth who were not mentioned in the Holy Scripture. Men who believed God, they were worthy to be written down in His book of memory. There were men and people whose names were written anyway in the book of God. And God knew, of course, that they will believe Him and that they would receive His word as being true. There's Abel. No one preached to him. No one was teaching him. But he had faith. He was well pleasing to God. And faith comes from the word of God. A man to whom God does not speak cannot believe. But to whom he addresses, he cannot remain in unbelief anymore, because the word of God triggers in our hearts faith and trust. It's of course a divine seed which then comes up. So we see Abel, he had the revelation, he had the faith, he knew what God required of him, and he sacrificed the lamb, and God looked at him well pleasing. And therefore it's written here in the Holy Scripture, before his rapture he was testified of that he had God's well pleasing. God gave testimony through the answer, and he received the sacrifice which he sacrificed. And for Abel, it was a divine confirmation until his end. He had received the answer from God, not a theory. He saw what happened. He could walk happily his street. Precious heart, it must come to the point that we, after we have heard God's promise, that we receive this divine answer by which we know that God's well-pleasing rests on us. The second part was about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if one reads the genealogies, then one sees it as a red thread through the scripture, that God was with people from generation to generation, making history. Who was it? Nabor, who had sons. One firstborn was Abraham, and the other ones remained there where they are, or they remained standing somewhere along the way. But God went on with Abraham, because he wanted to do something with Abraham. Now, in this service, I would like to show you something very clearly, that all of the plan of salvation, and that all the men of God, from the very beginning, the one built the platform for the other one, and that everything actually, without interruption, from the beginning to the end, it goes until the prophecy of the Old Testament finds fulfillment in the New Testament, and that the four Gospels come up, and then the book of Acts came up, because men of God were there who preached the gospel, and that a church came forth. And after the church came forth, all the epistles were written to individuals and to churches. As already said, it's like a red thread who just goes through all the scriptures. Everywhere, these men through whom God made history. In Genesis chapter 11, in verse 24, we read, "And Nahor lived 29 years and begat Terah. And Nahor lived after he begat Terah 119 years and begat sons and daughters. And Terah lived 70 years and begat Abram, Nahor, and Haran. If we would then read on, then we could see how the plan of salvation goes forth. Right in chapter 12, we meet in the first verse the statement, "Now the Lord spoke to Abram." Hallelujah! Praise be to God. The other two are no more mentioned. Nahor and Terah were not addressed. God knew who would believe His word. God knew who would walk in His ways. And them He addressed. With them He made history. If we then read on these chapters, then God, time and again, He gave promises, and then He fulfilled them. To Abraham, He said in Genesis 15, verse 13, "And He said unto Abraham, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. We all know the history. When then the time was over, God remembered His word, His promise, and His people. Because the people was of course connected with the promise which He has given. God's promises cannot be separated from His people. Amen. Perhaps God has to ask you that in your heart to confirm it. Please remember what was said by it. I repeat, in the name of the Lord, the people of God cannot be separated from God's promises, because the promises of God are, of course, addressed to the people of God. And what He promised, this He keeps for sure. Do you see what it's all about? About faith, which becomes a divine reality by faith. It must fall a bit deeper, namely into the heart. And then there's faith. It's the revelation of the word and of the will of God. Hallelujah. Praise be to our God. Whomever we would meet today on the street, if we would ask him, "Do you believe?" Of course, everyone believes. But each one believes what he likes, or what is being preached to him, what was told him. God's people takes the word seriously. We are now coming into a phase in which we must know all these things. And not only knowing it, they must become a divine reality to us. The faith, it becomes a living revelation of the word and the will of God for him and for his descendants. It was connected with the total obedience of the word which went forth from the mouth of God. We must really expect that Faith based upon the Word of God, that it becomes a living divine revelation for you and me, that is connected with obedience, walking hand in hand. Recently, I mentioned it here, that our faith must become alive, that it must become feet, it must have hands and feet, that faith must move, that into the body of the Lord, into the members which were scattered all around, that the Spirit of God comes upon them, and so that they become a living body. As the prophet Ezekiel saw it with the house of Israel, and that we then stand upon our feet of faith as the body of the Lord, being submitted to the head, our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we are available for Him, so that He can do what He wants to do. When the time was fulfilled, it happened what God promised. So it will be also now at the end of the time. God has a people who could wait, who didn't bring forth an Ishmael to prove something. No, those who are of the promise, they will wait for the fulfillment of the promise, and then the blessing of God will rest upon it. These three men, which we read from the first time, two of them, we looked at them more in detail, and we were reading from Hebrews 11. And the last ones, I would like to read from 2 Peter, chapter 2. 2 Peter, chapter 2, from verse 5. Here it speaks of Noah. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. What was it? Noah, as the man of God, was kept, and those who believed his message, they went into the ark. And God showed the whole world, by the obedience of this one man, He spoke the sentence to this world. And then somebody would probably say, "Huh, this Noah, he also has a register, which is not 100% correct." But let me tell you, God made all damage well. And who was the one who was hurt? Actually, not the drunk Noah, who was lying naked, but Ham, and especially his son Canaan, who was laughing about it, that his father was drunk and naked. To make no mistake, God is not mocked. God's servants are not here to expose them. God's servants are here so that one hears the word and believes the word which God speaks through them, saying, it's not about man, it's about you and your work, it's about us who would like to stand before you. Is it so or not? If it's about man, then we would present the program of Brother Branham and of Brother Frank or some other brothers here. No, it's not about this. It is about that God comes to his right, and that it becomes clear to all of us. He, in the midst of history of mankind, he made history with the plan of salvation. And if you read the first chapter of the New Testament, then you will find out that the Lord, right at the beginning of the New Testament, he put the fulfillment of the Old Testament. Important is probably that we quickly read verse 16 and perhaps 17. And Jacob begat Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. And now it comes. So all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David until the carrying away into Babylon are 14 generations, and from the carrying away into Babylon unto Christ are 14 generations. Here, everything is said from the Old Testament, just briefly, in a summary, in a nice order, it's repeated. Then we read, right in Matthew 1, verse 22, now, all this was done, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, behold, a virgin shall be with child, and so forth. You can read in chapter 2, verse 5, he was born in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, Micah chapter 4, verse 5. We could read on that he had to go to Egypt so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. Verse 17, then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and will not be comforted, because they are not. Everywhere you can read chapter after chapter, and in all the four Gospels, time and again it was referred to, and then it says the term, that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet or written by the prophet. John came just as the prophet Isaiah foretold it in Isaiah 40 and in Malachi 3, verse 1. The Lord Jesus came in the way as it was written of him. His ministry was according to Isaiah 35, precisely. That's how it is reported in the Gospels. There it is written, the blind will receive their sight, and the lame shall walk, and the tongue of the deaf, of the dumb shall speak, and the lame shall jump as a deer. From the very beginning, and one actually has already, from the very beginning, one has emphasized that basically in all things, the word of prophecy, through which the history of plan of salvation was foretold, that it found fulfillment. And I'm asking you today, for what did God give us the prophetic orientation? Of course not that we bypass it or interpret it or mix it, but that we clearly put our finger on the fulfillment of the various scriptures, saying, all this is happening so that it might be fulfilled what the Lord has spoken in His Word. Today, it's not about a doctrine which would make a special impression, not about a knowledge. Today, it is about that we, as the children of God, are connected with the plan of salvation of God, which finds its fulfillment, which finds its completion in our time, that we get an insight, that we get an overall view, and that we find grace before God to be placed into that what God is doing in these days. Everybody can read from a gospel, reading something and preach something about it. Everybody can, that what Paul wrote once upon a time, reading it and speak about it. And there's nothing to say against it. But by this, that we arrived now in this last prophetic age, we need not only teaching, but a prophetic orientation. And at that time, Peter wrote, who knew all the doctrines and who addressed these their doctrines to the church, he said, we have a more sure word of prophecy which shines as a bright light in a dark place. What was it? The word of prophecy illuminated the prophetic part of the plan of salvation and let all believers know, in this way God fulfilled what He said through all the prophets. Is it not written in the prophet Isaiah, who confirms the word of His servants and His counsel shall stand? God can do nothing except He does it according to His word. And there we have always the absolute certainty and surety. If the will of God was revealed to us by the word of God, we are not depending of men. We were taught not by men, but we were taught by God. And this is the promise which we received in the scripture. They all shall be taught by God. Who all? Muslims and Hindus and the Brahmins and all these Hindus? No, my people, because the teaching will go forth from me. And God spoke not in parables, not in riddles. God spoke in truth and very clear, and all who are of the people of God, they will be taught. And suddenly we sit all in the school of God. Nobody has the desire to teach the other one anymore. All have only one desire: to sit at the feet of the Lord and to be taught by Him. Beloved, the end must become like the beginning. Divine reverence and holy respect before Him and His Word must return into us. There's no other way. The fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. And whoever has not the fear of God in himself has not even the beginning. He has not even the beginning. Because the fear of God is the beginning of the divine wisdom. And of all that, what he has to say and to teach. If we miss the fear of God, then we must just admit that the divine teaching has not become yet a divine revelation, and with that, to a living faith in us. Then we have said, then we said yes with our intellect, without that our hearts were really touched. The Lord will have a church which was called out, which was separated, which has come out from Babylon and doesn't want to take anything with her what belongs to the Babylonian kingdom, but something very new she has become by the grace of God. Who wishes it with all his heart? To experience on himself and also on all the members of the body of the Lord, that we come back to the original faith, to the first love, to the first works, to the unity of the Spirit, of the fellowship. Yes, to all being brought back, being presented as it was at the beginning. Who has it in himself? Who wants it? Yes, I want it. And I tell you, such a desire could not be in us unless God has laid it into us. And if he has laid it into us, then I may tell you, so good I know God and his word, that he never would put a desire in us for something which he has not yet already prepared for us. We can only have longing for that what God promised us. And we sing with the songwriter, God's promises remain. They do not stagger. Jesus sealed with his own blood what he promised in the word. The new covenant, the new testament, which the Redeemer made with the Redeemer on the cross of Calvary, has come into force with the death of him who gave the testament. Hallelujah! Praise be to our God. Outwardly, some they like to have a testament and things. Many things are done with testaments. How is it with the greatest testament of all times? To whom was it left? To his own. To his own. He made the new covenant in his blood. And he said, this is the blood of the new covenant, a testament. And then he died. Everything what is written in this new testament belongs rightfully to you and to me. And if the enemy wants to bring us away from it, then we want to ask the Lord that he is our advocate. Maybe this doesn't fit here, but the word which I have heard in Greece, I don't want to mention this word because I cannot pronounce it, but the word for comforter is the same word for helper, for advocate. I will send you the comforter, him who helps you, he who intercedes for you, the advocate who leads your matter. And when our brother was reading the word, now the Lord sent me and his Spirit, not only me, but he has sent his Spirit, not only the word, but also the Spirit to us as the people of God, to bring us to our divine right. I tell you today, when the power of the Holy Spirit comes on us as the power, then we, in this divine equipment, we have the Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate. Then we have everything in Him what we need. Just as His King, Priest, and Prophet, Son of God, Son of Man, Son of David, and many things more, so God, through the Holy Spirit, He wants to force Satan for the believers, so that the believers come to their God-given right. And everything what is written in this Testament, that it is given to them without any loss, without any change. I can believe it, that God has this power. I can also believe it, that He must manifest it, because there's no other way. As sure as the blood of the Redeemer was shed for the redeemed, and by it the new covenant came into force, and we were reconciled with God, so sure we, as the ones being reconciled with God, we have the right in this Testament, the rights which were given to us in this Testament, to claim it. If we ourselves notice that we don't come to our right here, then we turn to our Advocate, to our Helper, to our Comforter, and we say, Lord, in Your word You promised, I will send You the Comforter, the Spirit of Truth, the Helper. Perhaps I read it to you so that you know that it is written like this. Gospel of John, chapter 16, second part, from verse 5, perhaps also verse 4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come, ye may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go on my way to Him that sent me, and none of you ask me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. Hallelujah. Praise God. The time is up. Perhaps we will deepen this afternoon, and we'll see on the day of Pentecost, the Comforter, the Helper, the Holy Spirit came. And I'm asking you, has the Holy Spirit empowered that everything became a reality? Yes, 100%. Not a Peter who put his sleeves up and he said, here I am. No. All the apostles, all together it were 120 who were waiting. And then came a rushing from heaven, a rushing wind. But this time, God was in the matter. With Elijah, the storm came, many things happened, but there was nothing heard of God. Here, everything was one. The first redeemed flock who were coming together was waiting in one accord as one heart and one soul. Now came the power of God into the believers, into the redeemed, to enforce that every promise becomes a reality, that every word of God finds confirmation and fulfillment. Also us, there's no other way to us. See, Brother Branham, with his unique ministry, and I say this with all my heart and out of full conviction, his ministry can only be compared with the ministry of our Lord. Even Paul and Peter did not have this ministry into all the details. No. Whoever has a question about it can ask. I'm ready to explain it to you. But through this mighty ministry, he expected that the church should come forth. And what happened? Much confusion. Sometimes things which just hurt us, they became as a result of it. But let me say it to you by faith. The seed was not sown in vain. It will bring forth fruit. And that, what he could expect as a result of his ministry, he could rightfully expect, this I guarantee you, at the end, it will be a divine result in glory, in the church, in the restored church of the living God. For God's word does not return void. But one thing we must see, that we now need this helper, the Holy Spirit. And with this we admit that we are helpless ourselves, that we cannot help. Is there somebody who can help himself? Then we would have done it long time ago. We would even have helped others, beloved. It's one who helps you and me, who can help us all. And this is the Holy Spirit, who must dwell in us, the power of God, putting every word of God into practice, bringing us into the possession of all that what was left to us in this testament. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. For such a cloud of witnesses and men of God who were left to us, men through whom God made history, men who heard his word, who believed his promises, receiving the living revelation from the living God, leaving their testimony for the strengthening of our faith. Let us take it today from the hand of the Lord, saying, faithful God, in the midst of the history of mankind, you make history. In the midst of all the churches, you have your church. And for the clarification, I want to say, we are not claiming here to be the church of the Lord and all the others just to put them away. No, we just want belong to the church according to the faith of the scripture, which consists from all churches and denominations, which is called out of them from all types and nations. The Lord knows His own, and His own hear His word. Oh, I know that the Lord God has spoken to us today. He shows us that what I did with all them who received my word by faith, and it became a living revelation to them, this I will do with them also who believe and receive my word in these days, and I will bring them into the possession of all that what I promised. When I said this in the first person, then only to let you know that it's not a man with whom we are dealing, but when the Lord would stand here today, would He not say exactly that, what was said just now? Would He not say to us, my people, learn of all the examples, and what I ever did, this I will do again in you, you who you believe me and follow me and obey me, you who are ready to be obedient. May the faithful God bless us all and be with all of us by grace. Amen. Let us stand up and pray. Perhaps we sing together the chorus, Just As I Am. We bow our heads, we close our eyes and examine ourselves in the presence of the Lord, before Him, the Holy God. We appear as unworthy, unclean, useless, helpless, perplexed, and nevertheless we look to Calvary and we see that God has reconciled Himself with us, blotting out our guilt, making all damage well, and that He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. As Paul wrote it to the Corinthians, and he said, we say to you, and we beseech you, in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled with God. The reconciliation took place, the salvation was given, the forgiveness is here, but also a gift must be received and accepted. Whoever does not receive it has it not. Should some be still amongst us who didn't accept this offer of grace, precious hearts, receive it now. Not being religious brings us to the destination, not belonging to a church, but Christ, receiving Christ as our Savior, as our Redeemer, so that faith becomes a divine revelation and that it can have an effect in our lives. We feel the presence of God. The Lord is nigh to us. He not only sent His word, but also His Spirit to all who were purchased by the blood and who were reconciled, to execute the word of God with them. Yes, to show it to them as being fulfilled, to transfigure it to them as finished and completed. May the Lord let His Spirit come down on us so that He helps us, helping us just to claim our rights. And the Lord will be nigh to us. He will help us. Otherwise, He would not have spoken to us in such a way. Hallelujah. Praise be to God that He still speaks. It's only grace. How much efforts He made Himself with us. And sometimes we are deaf. Sometimes we don't understand. But today He wants that we all receive and accept it. He has thoughts of love towards us and of peace. He brings His work to completion with us. As our heads are bowed, our eyes closed, should somebody be here who would like to make his decision fully for the Lord, then you may briefly raise your hand, taking them down again. Thank you. May God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. God bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to our God. We shall be people who are added to His church to have part in the last phase of the plan of salvation. Let us pray. Almighty God, Creator of the heaven and of the earth, You, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, we thank You for the wonderful testimony of all them to whom You have spoken, who believed You, who served You, who were faithfully following You, being obedient. We thank You for Abel, for Enoch, for Noah, Lord, for all Your servants and prophets, for all the apostles, for all the servants of God, for all the children of God, whom You have called out, whom You drawn to You, whom You pardoned. Yes, You made children of God out of children of men. Yes, we thank You for it. Now we ask You together, O God, send us the Comforter. You promised it. The Helper who intercedes for us there where our faith is too weak, there where our trust is too poor, there may You help us by the power of Your Spirit so that all divine requirements become a reality and so that we may experience them for the praise of Your name. Bless all who rose their hands. Faithful God, we want that under the sound of Your word that we experience You and that all the promises become true in all of us. Redemption, deliverance, healing, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Oh, that would just count with it, that every word will be fulfilled while the preaching goes on, and so that the Spirit comes upon Your church. Lord, we thank You for the privilege to have the word of prophecy in such a clarity, having heard it. We thank You that You have illuminated the way which we have to walk Help us now in our personal life of faith, in our obedience to serve you and to be available for you. Lord, I cannot do otherwise but to believe as Abraham believed. When the time will be fulfilled, you are looking down on your people graciously. You rise up, you stretch forth your arm, and you are giving deliverance. You help your people to come to their rights. You are fulfilling your promise. Praise, honor, and glory be to you. We thank you that this time has come very near. May we have part in the last mighty moving of your Spirit. We thank you. It will not happen by might and not by power, but by your Spirit. Your Spirit who has given the word, who has inspired it. The same Spirit will come upon all who have received your word, and it will become a divine inspiration and revelation in them. And I thank you that then our faith will be as the scripture has said, and every word you will confirm, every promise you will fulfill. Praise, honor, and glory be to you throughout all eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Heavenly Father, with all my heart, I ask you that you, writing deep in our hearts, that we neither from you nor from your word or from your promises can be separated from you, never. Neither height nor deep things, neither present things nor things to come. Nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Dear Savior, may we experience and see the work of redemption from your perspective, and not looking on ourselves, but looking on you, because whoever looks on you is quickened, and whoever trusts in you cannot be put to shame. Beloved Savior, may your people on this day have understood that your promises addressed to us will find through us and with us fulfillment. Dear Savior, make the faith which came through the preaching of your word, make it alive to us and make it a divine revelation of your will. Lord, I thank you that you, after the time of trouble and needs, you will give a time of refreshing and quickening from your presence. Dear Lord, may the beginning have been made. Give us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who helps us and who intercedes for us. Be with all of us. Your people is blessed. Your people has a future. Your people will experience that the last promises will be fulfilled. Thank you. You are nigh. Lord, it's difficult for us to stop now. You have given us the connection to yourself. It is true what is written. God was in Christ and reconciled us with himself.